Now, the other thing that makes this so special is that the journey is going national. Mm-hmm. So, Sean, what is it about the journey that sets it apart from so many other organ combo records? Because there are a bunch of them out there. Why do you think Detroit Music Factory decided, yes, we're going to take this one national?
Well, I think, you know, that's a tough question. But for me, I think that it's the fact that every song on there, on the recording, represents something. There's no wasted music on the recording. And when I say wasted music, meaning for me, you know, when I do a recording, I try to make sure that every tune that we choose, and that we tend to choose them as an ensemble, but every tune that we choose has a point to it. There's a reason behind it why we're playing this record. There's a song that means something to us. And so it's not something that says, oh, let's put this on there. It'll sell, you know, this is sell the records, which that's totally fine too, because I think that's another way of doing it. For me, records do better when they have a personal relationship, when the artist has a personal relationship with the music that they're playing.
All right. So let's discuss your personal relationship with, say, Fancy Free.
Oh, man. Well, Fancy Free. So this was kind of my introduction into playing in the organ groups. So I remember playing Fancy Free when I was started going down to the Music Menu in Detroit. So why that's important for me is that's where I met the great Johnny Bassett. And so I met Johnny Bassett, and I went down there just to hang out and play. And that was one of the tunes that everybody was playing. And I remember meeting Johnny, after 2 weeks, I was in the band, and I stayed with Johnny, you know, between 5 and 6 years or something like that. And I was in the band for a while. And I just remember, and that's like the total organ tune to me. And I remember that song, when I think of that song, I think of Johnny Bassett.
Wow. Yeah. So do you think Corey Allen can get some of that Johnny Bassett grease and finesse going?
Well, no, because Corey Allen is only in his 20s. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't expect, you know, Corey Allen, why you're going to love Corey Allen is because Corey Allen can express Corey Allen better than anybody.
All right.
And that's what I love. But I think that over time, he's going to have an impact on the music that people are going to want to be, that he's going to influence other musicians. But, you know, people like Johnny Bassett and Perry Hughes, they play one note and you start crying. Because that's years of experience and years of knowledge and years of life, and that's a certain thing. But all of us younger, we're all trying to get to the point of a Johnny Bassett or, you know, Perry Hughes, Bob Hurst, Rodney Whittaker. We all want to get that personal relationship with the music, so we're all striving for that and to have that voice.
Mm-hmm. Talk about your relationship with Here's to Life.
Oh, well, Here's to Life. So I played with Johnny, you know, I was in Johnny O'Neill's trio for 5 years, the great Johnny O'Neill, who now lives in New York. And Johnny and I, we had a great book. I don't even know how many times we may have rehearsed, because for some reason, when we got on the bandstand, no rehearsal was necessary. It's just we all could feel each other. We were really keyed into Johnny. So much so that you had to be careful to not be such a good fan of Johnny's while you're playing with him, because you forget you got a job to do. That's how much I loved playing with him. And you get caught up listening to him so much, you're like, wait a minute, I got to play my ride pattern. I got work to do over here. But out of all the songs that I've worked with Johnny, and Johnny was, you know, not only a great player, he's a great singer. Out of every song, this song, when I heard Johnny sing it, was like very emotional. And I knew it was the place that it was coming from, just where everything that he's gone through in life and the hard work that it took for him to become the musician that he is. And so that was the song, Here's to Life, that I think about when I think about Johnny O'Neill, is mm-hmm. Here's to Life. And that was when we played that song, that was our tune. That was it. I mean, and that to me, that brought the house down, because it came from such a personal place.
More today than yesterday?
More today than yesterday. All right. So, more today than yesterday. So, my mother kept music from the 70s going on in the house all the time, right? So, I remember hearing just growing up hearing that music. And it's the same as, well, Uchal has a different story, but it's kind of the same thing. More Today Than Yesterday was, something that tunes that my mother kept going on in the house. And I would remember that. And I'm starting to think now that here's the news. I'm turning 40 this year, Linda. So now that I'm approaching 40, years 5 through 12 are starting to come back to me now. And I'm starting to realize how much I was influenced by other things that got me to be, 40 years old. And so they're starting to come back. So I'm listening to music and I'm like, wait a minute, I remember that. And I'm, it's just all coming back to me now and why I love what I love. And so More Today is one of those tunes. And especially I loved it because of how I heard Charles Erlen do it.
And you are very tight with your family here. Yeah. This is a tough question. Mm-hmm. You could pick up and, like Johnny O'Neill, move to New York and you could make it. Mm-hmm. You have chosen to stay around Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti, and Detroit. Tell me all about that.
Well, I mean, first when this area, Metro Detroit, has basically given me my life. I always tell people that. They basically given my years with Claude Black and Clifford Murphy and Ramona Collins in Toledo. Not many people know Ramona Collins gave me my first club gig at Rusty's Jazz Club. And I think I had just gotten my driver's license. So she gave me my first club gig, and Claude Black and Clifford Murphy gave me my first steady gig. And, my years playing in Paul Finkbeiner's band over on Sunday nights at the Bird of Paradise in the jam sessions. My years playing with Paul Keller, in the Paul Keller sextet, and just the years with Johnny Bassett, the years with Lewis Smith, Johnny O'Neill, all these people who have just given. Basically, I say it's like, there's a few people I'm not even mentioning. Many years with Rodney Whittaker. I'm still playing with Rodney, but just and still playing with all these musicians. But my point is that the people around here have basically given me the life that I have. And they were kind enough to share with me. They were kind enough to take time with me when they didn't have to. People don't know the amount of conversations that I've had driving up and down the street learning about music with these guys. On the way, this is what you need to do. On the way home, this is what you should have done. Seriously. And it's not a thing, but it's like educating you about the music and the millions of times that I've been able to pick up the phone and call. Not many people know how many times Paul Keller and I have sat on the phone for 2.5 hours talking about music. You know what I mean? And so these people have given me so much that I felt like to take all that and to just leave and to not share that and give that back and make sure that that's still growing. I just felt like that wasn't for me. And that's not a decision I say for everybody else. But, what better place can you, all my children are musicians. What better place can you learn how to play music and be a part of a family atmosphere and be a part of an encouraging atmosphere? And I'm sure there's other places around, but, this is the place for me. This is the place for my family. And this is the place where I want to, have my most influence. And I still get a chance to go out and do other performances with workshops in different communities. I see a lot of great musicians, great young people, great young musicians. But, I just felt like with everything that Lewis Smith gave me and all this stuff, I didn't want to pick up and take it and say, okay, thanks, guys, and and leave. I just felt like it wasn't mine to keep. It's mine to. It was only mine to borrow and to make sure I'm giving back. That's how it is.
Oh, that's beautiful, beautiful, Sean. Now, this record, and I'm sure Detroit Music Factory would agree with me. This thing is international caliber and quality. Mm-hmm. Do you think you're going to tour a little nationally or at least regionally in promotion of the journey?
That is the goal. That is the plan. That's what we want to do. We want to really get out and tour this record. And so we're working on it now. We're still putting details together to get some good tours happening. But that's really what we want to do just kind of get out and not only promote this record, promote the musicians on the record, because I'm really happy that everybody on the record is from right here in our town, and promote our jazz scene, to promote our jazz scene. So we're really excited about that.
Is that what you want the national listener to get out of the experience of the journey, or what would you like the national listener to really get out of it?
You know, I just hope that they can, I hope that when people listen to the music, I know I have my story with every song on there, and I just hope that they have their story. And if they listen to Willow Weep for Me, they might have a different relationship or history with Willow Weep for Me. I just want them to have one. I hope that they have one. If they listen to Ooh Child, then I hope that they have a relationship. My relationship easy with Ooh Child is that, again, I grew up as a, I talk about this, we grew up in a single family home, and financially it was very tough, all the time. Even though it was very tough. And this is one of the songs that my mother would actually sing to me, and this is one of the songs that would be playing all the time. And we didn't have CDs, Linda. We had, we had records.
Well, I got them too. Yeah.
We had records. No, but this is one of those songs that would, and it was like that. That to me was like my song of hope, because it was like no matter how bad things get, and got and things got bad, it was like songs like that. That along with my huge gospel background. That was the music that got me through. If I didn't have music at that age or coming up, I don't know where I would be at right now, to be honest with you.
Mm. So when you're playing Ooh Child,
yeah,
is that lyric rolling back in your head?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go back to being, that's what I said. Now I'm like, I'm thinking about age 5 through 12 now with every song that I'm playing. It's like, why does that mean something? Why am I playing that tune? And now it's like you understand it now. And so it's all coming back. When I play it, I'm not playing it as the older musician. It's still the 5 through 12 year old listening to it for the first few times with a parent. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So for the national listener, they may not be aware, and there's something that's really, really close to your heart. Your activity in jazz education today. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you were part of the community music school in Detroit.
Still are. Yep.
You still are.
Director of jazz at the community music school Detroit for Michigan State.
Okay.
Yep.
And what else then is going on in Sean Dobbin's life? Because you meant, as you walked in this morning, you said, "Oh my gosh, this semester." So what's going on?
All right. So here we go. We'll get it going here. I'm executive director of the Southeastern Music Academy as well, and I lead a group called the Lewis Smith Jazz Orchestra, and it's a group of young, really great young musicians, very serious group of musicians that you are going to hear from all of them very soon. I also lead the youth program for the University of Michigan, meets on Sundays, yep, and then I teach at Wayne State University, teaching the jazz department at Wayne State University. I teach in the jazz department at the University of Michigan, and also lead one of their great combos. And then I'm the assistant coordinator of jazz at Oakland University. And so I teach direct the combo program, and I teach the jazz percussionist there.
Jeepers. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how. You don't know how you do it.
Nope. Nope. I don't.
But you're driven. Mm-hmm. You've got the love.
Yeah.
You've got it emanates from you. Even if we didn't know you were Sean Dobbin's jazz drummer, you got the love.
Mm-hmm.
You've been loved. So you give it back.
Yep. 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 I mean, you have to. I mean, that's it can't stop. My favorite conversation I tell people about is one time at Pioneer High School. I was in the library when I was in high school, and I was in the library, and high school boys, they're always going to talk too loud. They're always going to, just not doing your work. And so I'll never forget this. The librarian, his name was Mr. Piper. Mr. Piper came over to me, and he said, "If you were a football player, I would go talk to your coach." He said, I would go talk to your coach right now. But since I know what you do, I'm going downstairs and I'm talking to your band teachers about how you're not in the library taking advantage of being in the library, but you're in there talking with your friends. So it was from him telling him this. I'll never forget this, because he could have just said, you're banned from the library and that's it. He didn't do that. He said, I'm going to go talk to the people who influence you. So I get downstairs to the band room that day. Nobody's in there. Robert Albritton, who was the band director there, and Lewis Smith, who was the jazz band director there, were sitting there waiting to have a meeting with me. And I sat there. It was just the three of us in the room. And they basically, the gist of the conversation was Lewis Smith looked at me and said, you know what, Robert Albritton, he was my student, and I'm proud of him for everything that he's done. And we've had to fight hard to get to where we're at and to work hard to be great educators and great mentors. And he looked at me and he said, are you telling me this, all this work and all this fight and struggle stops with you? Are you telling me this is it? And that was like, those are tough words for me to hear. You know, those are tough. And once he said that, then that changed everything. And then I was like, okay. I was like, all right, you get it. And he said, you have to turn this around. You're going to be and Lewis Smith would always tell me, you're going to be a teacher someday, and you're going to be a musician. I know this is what you're going to do. And everything that this tradition that we're trying to teach you and what we're trying to give you, it can't stop with you. And you can't just walk away from this, because we've built something here, and you can't tell us that now it comes to your turn and the ball's going to hit the ground.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that was kind of the driving thing. But I always credit the librarian, Mr. Piper, for saying, I'm going to go talk to these people who influence you. And you never know when you do something, how it's going to impact somebody. The smallest thing can impact somebody's life. And he could have said, oh, you know what? That's it. He could have went to the office and said, he's banned for this amount of time. He said, no, I'm going to do something to change your life. And I don't know how much he knew that was going to impact it. But that conversation changed my life.
They told you to straighten up and fly right.
Yeah. They would tell me, like, I remember Mr. Albritton told me one time, he said, you know, you laugh too much. He said, what's so funny? And I'm like, that's just my personality. And he said, look around here, man. And I was like, what? And he's like, you're going to have to work to get what you want. You know, you're hanging out with the people who may not have to. They got privilege. They've got jobs waiting for them. You're going to have to work. So nothing's that funny. Seriously. And when you're young, you don't get it. But I hear everything now. Everything is loud and clear, what he was telling me now. So I'm thankful for people like that that kind of helped shape and make sure that I was on the right track.
Oh, I am glad you made time for WEMU today.
Always. Oh, this is family.
Oh, I know.
You guys are family.
It is.
Anytime.
Well, you know, you've got, as you explained, that extremely busy schedule. Mm-hmm. Just congratulations on the journey going national.
Thank you.
Anything you want to mention about your pals at Detroit Music Factory Records?
You know, that's a huge family. It is a huge honor to be on that label. I love, you know, Daryl Garrett is just, he's a great president of the label. I love Gretchen Vallade. I love Tom Robinson. What they're doing for you know, the artist here is unbelievable, because it's not just, it's about the music, but then it's about your impact that you're trying to make in your community. And you know, this label is trying to showcase all the positive things that's going on in the community, and I could not be happier to be with them and to be a part of this, to be a part of their journey, because this is a new label. So this journey on this recording is great, and I'm really proud to be a part of their journey as well.
Well, thank you for letting us be part of your journey, Sean Dobbins.
Well, thank you for letting us be a part of yours.